Hey there, everybody. This is Tavo DRC, Pastor T, Dr. T of the overseer of the Crossbud Unity Move for ministers and Christian leaders. It's an opt-in. Nobody's over you. I'm not under you. We're just sort of here together, and it's for the body of Christ to, you know, represent Jesus and do our best in our own way that He calls. And we're trying to be, you know, we're really in a relief. I'm sitting here in a relief. I haven't arrived. Nobody ever arrives, but we're so relaxed and glad we finished off that chapter where I had to confront and be upfront more than I ever had been in my life, discussing true and false teaching that represents and doesn't exactly, you know, model the character, the humor, the life of the Christ in the first church. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nobody's perfect, and I'm not. We're still on that search for organic. Who is organic according to first church standards, not back under the law, but being diverse, respectful to all, honoring the mothers and the fathers, the leaders, but also being humble enough to get along and represent the Pauline community, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, 21. So today I'm relieved, I'm relaxing. You know, I'm always listening to what God has said, but I want to honor somebody. I want to honor somebody, another maven of theology, a friend who has done the Bible Essentials website. This is the official title, it's a .com. The Bible is essential.com, and we really need that now. And I needed that as a reference, as a resource for people and myself to go back and really say, out of all this media and all the wonderful things and the streams of God and life and trials and diversity and not diverse, all these things, who and what is Christ? And what about accepting Him? How do you get to know Him as Savior? Make sure your place in eternity is ready, you know, and that you can have it to teach from, to say, do I match up? Do I understand it? Have I ever heard this before? And you can do it as a sila. We're not given dogma. We're not making it authoritarian. We're not a religious rite. This is your, you know, one of the things I say personally for us, this movement, is that I'm trying hard not. By God's mercy, I'm trying hard not to be religious, and I'm not always right. That's why I'm submitting selahs. Apostle Paul did that. He gave me he said, work out our own salvation. Once you know Jesus, get in with God. Grow and get teaching, get training, spend time alone with God and with, you know, reading the Bible with other disciples. And then work out, men and women, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I think the word, that's Paul, with fear and trembling has got to be thought of. Why would Paul say it back then? He knew it was that important to be safe and to be eternally prepared and ready and saved, and not to get through dysfunctional personalities or false teaching or incorrect authority, controlling, supernatural, wrong kind of authority that would hurt you or hurt people and hurt God's good name. So this is why we're doing it. So I want to honor and say thank you to help me, my friend who did this, who does this, help me bring a balance to all the stuff that's, you know, I've been diatribing purposely, intentionally to stir up and provoke thought about true and false doctrine and who and is not. And I still will some, but I'm trying to get more toward this other side of being an encourager. And God is, you know, and for people who get along and have community, I want to balance that, but I needed to say this is something, a resource for people. And it's from a fellow friend, Maven. And a maven is this, a maven of theology, a maven is a connoisseur of doctrine. That doesn't mean they're a matriarch, a stone thrower, a fundamentalist, a legalist, religious. No, 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 no. We've heard that. A lot of us have heard that. We're trying to say, we're trying not to go there. So it's simply a resource. I put it on a link. Whoops. I put it on a podcast as a link. Put it on all these different social media for people to just know it's out there and to see, be aware, do we really know about this now? Have we ever heard of it? And that Jesus Christ over here, we're saying, you know, Jesus Christ wasn't white. He wasn't Caucasian. He was from the Middle East. So we have to read the Bible, the New Testament, not the stone-throwing law, but the New Testament in the eyes of, do I really know Jesus? Have I ever met him? Do I want to accept him or not? It's your choice. But the idea is that Christ went about doing good. He went about doing good. They said that Paul and Christ were homely. They weren't beautiful. Christ himself was not physically attractive so that nobody would want, in other words, he was humbled intentionally for the journey because he knew it counted. People are going to be thrown off by your looks, your style, all the materialistic things because it's a, famous stuff. And I'm not opposing people who look good. I want to look good myself. We're working on it. But I'm saying that the mirror, the false, just the visage, the idea of the playtime that we have all this time in the world to hang around, do nothing except what we want to do, that facade is similar to the passing fancies. It says somewhere in the scriptures, we perceive or intersee through a glass darkly. We only get a glimpse here and there of eternity, of things that really are important. And that God isn't this big boss waiting up there to throw stones and catch you in sin. No, that's the overly familiar voice of the local Pharisee or the historical representation of an authoritarian in Christian leadership from back on movies, back in the day, but also right now in passed down Mountain William theology, that sort of law stuck in the old days and that catches people. It's a real civil war between the types of Christian representation and ministry. So we're trying to tone it down, bring it up, work on hearing from the Lord from the inside out, working on looking on the inside, everyone, to say, do I really know Jesus? But then do I represent him in his character, in his nature, in his tone of voice, in his ministry? And how would you know that? Unless you read or get taught, how would you know it? Well, you can invite him and look at the Bible is essential.com, but then you got to read for yourself and spend time to invest in it. You're going to invest in it. So what you could do is just get out your Bible, the old fashioned way, the one with a cover, the one you can feel, or get online, get on your app, whatever it is, and read for yourself when Jesus Christ was alive on earth in ministry with family, with his mother, with people, with humans. All colors over with the Africans coming through and the Asians coming through and the Greeks and the Romans, the Jews and the Gentiles, So we want to look at that for ourselves in the picture, but where we're going to read is when he was alive in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here's how you do it. You don't go back and you think, oh, I'm going to research. I'm going to do all this stuff. You're going to do it right now to start again, face value. And you're going to say, I'm going to read Jesus in a way that I've never heard anybody say this. Read him through the eyes of his relationships with every person. Note who it is, male, female, black, white, brown, or Roman, or Jew, or Greek, or children, sick or young, sinner or saint, weeping or grieving, or happy and joyful. And note it. Take a little tablet. Keep a little track if you want to. And then see, how did Jesus act with that person or that group of persons? Sometimes it was a group. How did Jesus act and how did he react? And then you just model it. Once you read how Jesus acted and reacted, you will notice a lot of the stuff that we've heard taught, even in our parents, even in, just by mistake, people didn't know, is dysfunctional. It was more like crafted by mistake. The Bible teaches all of us. Nobody's perfect. Only Christ was 100% organic without any human synthetic additives like us. He was the only one without mixture. He was the only one that had 100%, 250% pure doctrine, true doctrine as a prophet, pastor, evangelist, minister, apostle. Everybody else, even Paul said, follow me only if. That means, and when I follow Christ, and this is why I feel impressed strongly to say, you better follow Christ and take what I say, what I hear from the Lord that I think I, you know, I'm saying I hear the Bible, and I submit it to you as a sila. That means you pause, think about it, see if it's really in the Bible, see what God says in your heart, and either take it or reject it. That's how Paul did it. That's how I believe it, so that you put your confidence in God, not myself. So we're here for you as an equal opportunity, real respectful type of leadership. And we want to, if you have a question, if you want to have a difficulty with any of this or need edification, even mentoring or wise advice, you know, I'm here as a resource. We want to do it we're doing this because it's been so strange and so toxic in the word money. So we do this right now because I don't have people, I'm not the administrator of the big detailed minutia of funding. That would be a great balance to this. I'm the creator, visionary, and all that. Hear God, and I can do it to a certain level. Right now we're doing it as a business. And as a business, in case that when, you know, I used to have a 501(c), but I put it down in Texas because the Lord told me to do it as a sign, a prophetic act, and also to remove myself from being a charismatic. We're not charismatic. We love them. We've forgiven them. And there are three kinds. You know, we're fine with a lot of the teaching. We're fine with many of the persons, probably most the remnant, the godly remnant, the Enochs that are just truly the real deal. But I had gotten so much warfare and witchcraft, false authority, that I've talked so much about, that was so big and so huge that I'd never seen it in that magnitude. And to get this side of it is wonderful, but it was dysfunction affecting Jesus Christ representation and ministry and affecting the nation. So pulling out of that, I had to get back to what in the world are we, you know. So the Lord just said, make it simple. And I have what we're going to do is, because of the extreme circumstances and finances, and you don't know what will happen with peril in our nation, the Lord had sent me ahead to live really low. I think big. I've lived large before, but he sent me to live for a period as a sign. Really, one of them was like an Ezekiel sign to the mega churches, the celebrity, some of them. Be careful, or you're going to go there, all right? The other part was, that time is over over there, but it got me stronger. It got me more brave. It got me not able to be controlled to the best of my ability, to really watch out and to know the field that is ripe for harvest at the grassroots, and know the treacherous doctrinal fruit of dysfunction as well as the joy. But then that's one side, the joy about the kingdom. You know, I learned the hard way. We learned there is false advertising now in some of this dysfunctional representation of false doctrine, the evil eye. The false teaching is this, and this has got me so passionate, zeal, not mad, not offended, not accusing, zeal for the Father's houses, so that people can go when they're in stress and trial. If you're not famous, you're able to go and they respect you. The disciples under these people, that was the discovery. False advertising is, you say, well, let's say it's a mega ministry maybe, somewhere in the nation or the globe. And they say, we are a fellowship, we're a church, we're a ministry. Come to Jesus' house and worship the Lord, get to know him. We represent God. So you go, you're innocent, you know, you're hungry, you want God, you want more of God, you want the worship, the prophetic anointing, you want whatever, the good teaching, you want to meet God as the revealer of secrets, Dan 2:28. So you trust the advertising. They're a Christian. You've heard good things. They look good. So you go there, you spend your time, carve out time, your energy, your gas. If you've got children, you have to deal with them in the car and get them ready, all that. You pay a price because you love God. You really have a first love heart. You go there and you find out that you're mistaken. It was false advertising, bait and switch. Because you show up and you are definitely not their style, and they start looking down on you. There's a class system, they're biased, misogyny, racist, a lot of things. And that the people, certain kinds, the people only want a famous person. They'll only respect. This is why we're teaching like that, throwing it down, really throwing it down. Because I was sent to be an embed, not famous, and that's great. But I was sent to learn. I didn't know there's so much control going on in America to orchestrate these systems and bias. And it's money. It is money, 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 money. And this is why we're careful. So the idea is the opposite, to say, you know, in the day of Samuel, and I will go back to when I started the public ministry, which had more business, more evidence, you know, more real life going on in the natural sense. Back in the 80s, when the Jim Baker and Jim Swaggart scandals happened, and all this was about money and women, the Eli stuff, and they've repented. It isn't about them now. But we learn the offering. It is written in 1 Samuel with the Eli temple high, the false authority using and abusing women and persons, not respecting and valuing everyone equally, and the dollar abusing and using and putting pressure on people for funding. That is the LP, Levitical Patriarch Priesthood, that God caused to be wiped out so that the new move of God could start. They were, you know, so you could read Samuel. Well, it says in Samuel, and I liken it back to when I remember starting in ministry and all this scandal with money, and it, people have never liked the offering since. Samuel said, the offering of the Lord was despised in Eli's day because of his sons and him and the way they did things. They ran their system. You can read about the accuser of the lone woman, Hannah, on the front porch of the steps. He looked at her like a typecast. They were down on women, but really these days, sorry, it could be anybody, males, females, young or old, God forbid. So I'm pitching that as a big deal for anybody that resembles that to get cleaned up, or you're going to go. I mean, God's... I've had words which I won't get into now. I'm trying to keep this really positive, and I am positive for the remnant. But I'm saying it is so hard now to go to a church that says they worship in the Holy Spirit and move in the book of Acts. That's where we're really making a complaint for dysfunction because of the fruit. It is now the, not just from such, it is the from such turn away fellowship fruit of 2 Timothy 3:1-5, 1 Timothy 1:6-5, measuring you by money. Paul says, in the last days it's going to be perilous, and surely it has. So we're trying to uplift, bring forth organic more, and let you hear it for yourself without me saying, you know, I'll give you my strong opinion or my nice opinion. But I'm going to say it is your choice to hear God on that and do with what you feel is, you know. So back to money, our income. All right, so we've lived by faith, and I could be teaching. I'm a musician. I've had worship ministries. I've given workshops. I taught. I'm a professor and also a Bible scholar, a professor. So what we don't have is that, and we don't have the... And I'm a counselor, can give a counsel. And the way I'm doing it is praying, ask people to pray, you know, pray protection on it. Because when I've gotten going strongly, that's when some kind of controlling spirit or person comes along. It does. So we've had to get stronger and more bolder to not be moved by it. But I believe that is going to settle down because I know about it now. I'm not, you know. But the issue, there are power, we're sent to the region and the nation, this whole area, and we're not territorial turf protectors. That is the issue. That spirit of control, cult, and witchcraft is present in this day right now up here too. Big. Now, I'm not afraid of it. I'm merry. I'm a merry heart, more than them. But it is a power, a supernatural side as a prophet, that you have to deal with that spiritual realm. You know, I can handle it. But I didn't have enough people. And I had, when I came up here, I'd been through a lot of dysfunction. I'd been through a lot of dysfunction, abuse and treachery and hell on earth and spiritual warfare like I'd never seen in 15 years plus before that, domestic violence, but really 15 years of Dallas. And even though I like Texas and I like Dallas, I love the gyms, I love the excitement, I like it, big sky, I like a lot of things. I couldn't fit in the spirit of religion or the dysfunction of Christian ministry. But also there's a toll, because I was sent. And if you're an apostle, you're a sent messenger, whether they like you or not, receive you or not, or read you as an evil person and pray against you with witchcraft or not. And I learned that big. So the issue, I can train from that. If you have that issue, if something bothers you, I can, you know, been through so much that nothing bothers, it doesn't bother me, but it is present. And I'm going to teach you how not to do it and how to not be moved and how to forgive them and keep on going. God's, you know, with God's help, but we need more prayer now. So the issue is God is doing a new thing, and I'm very social, but I had to pull out. So when I came up here, the Lord said, Lee, I'd gotten a word about in 2019, September, as a prophet in Dallas, I'd gotten a word that the Lord was going to give I was to read, the Lord said, read Acts 2, and it was about, I know Acts 2. Acts 2 is the rush of a mighty wind. So I went to read it, to obey the Lord, and as I read it, the 120 were gathered in the upper room, and all of a sudden there was a rush of a mighty wind, but the Lord changed the word spiritually in a vision. There was a flush of a mighty wind. The Lord said there's going to be a coming flush of a cleansing and transforming wind in Christian ministry. It will be cleansing, it will be ongoing, and that was before COVID. Well, sure enough, when COVID came, it shut it down. And I thought, wow, God is rebooting his churches. That's what I thought. And we hoped it would be different, but it is not different often. Certain ones are better than others. But I still had to come up here. So I came up here because I really, you know, was sent. Well, then I didn't realize that celebrity spirit is big, but only in certain kinds of doctrines, the demon conscious. So I came up here after 15 years, and it was like Daniel. I'm a prophet and an intercessor. I've, you know, been around a long time doing this all my life in ministry since I was born, literally the day I was born. And so I came up here just after 15 years of demonic persecution, not people, but the spirit realm, you know. A lot of it. Nowhere to go, you know. So I went online to started the ministry online and started going to the Barista Fellowship and chatting and networking, you know, like we do. We like that realm. We love that realm. So as I came up here, I didn't realize it, but I had PTSD from all the dysfunctional and warfare and the giant demonic spirit over that area, the turf garden, the Jezebel spine. So I came up here ready to get going again. I was sent up here, and all of a sudden I realized there's that too up here, and I couldn't go there. So it took me 2.5 years to get over that, to get the breakthrough of not into, you know, dreading to see a white Christian, really the white Christians were just traumatized, you know, triggered the certain kind of doctrine, not the black ones, because it's always white that have this horrible focus on evil, you know. Anyway, so that was over, that was then, this is now, but then every time lately, in the last year or so, when I knew that was over and that it was a controlling spirit, a mantled controlling spirit, matriarch and patriarch, or both, the Levitical patriarchy of the nation, whether it's here, there, or anywhere, because I am online, they know me, they recognize me. And I went, wow, I'm so contented up here. I like it. I love it. I feel really good up here. But every time I got going to make forward progress, to do things on the land, to write that book, to get accomplished, wham! A spirit of control and of whatever that territorial thing is. So I respectfully say that all men are not this way, all white men are not this way, but I believe there is a Jezebel controlling personality or two or a group that knows about this and me, because there's a lot of false witness going around that nobody ever speaks. They just read you, divine you, and hear gossip, and they believe it. Poor them. So that's false witness, and that's false, that's demonic. And so that has been a lot of source of this power, you know, the spiritual realm. However, I know other people too, other groups, and I'm a minister's minister, and I know many black groups and white that don't do this. So I just had to get used to the climate and apostle. This is the God's season also. This is not their season. It's not my season, but it was God's move. He wanted done, and this powers whatever this was or whoever these are that are agreeing against it. The strong patriarch crowd. That's you. You're going to deal with it. God will deal with you. I'm going to be fine because we're fine. But the issue is it goes back to money. It goes back every time to bait and switch. They didn't want all of us, all kinds. They want their turf that looks like them in their mantle. So forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. Forgive me, Lord, for all of us know not what, but I have a clear conscience. I have a clear conscience way back, But it's the same mean streak spirit in ministry that I never had dealt with. It's only charismatic, white, prophetic whelp. It goes way back. And I have studied it for 30 years, and I thought, there for the grace of God go I, but I wasn't raised like that. I wasn't raised big boss ministry thought. I don't think like that. So we're going to servant leader. We are servant leader. The issue is you, in this business, in this ministry, God's business, you have to know how not to control and how not to be controlled. And that is the part I didn't know till now, till Dallas, that God was teaching me, Tabo, you're too easygoing. You're too easygoing. 2 James 3:17 for this crowd, they're tough. They want money. They're like hornets to keep their money coming in. The Jezebel versus Elijah. A prophet like Elijah only wanted God's move. Jezebel and Ahab and their false prophets network of moneymakers, they only wanted their turf. And that is it. That's the reason I'm speaking this strong, because it says, Church of Thyatira, Holy Spirit letter in Revelation 2, it says to the top leader of the movement, of the church, of the ministry, of the house, of the fellowship, of the Bible study, of whatever, male, female, or black, or white, or brown. And I'm going to say it to me, Tevo, why do you tolerate that Jezebel false teaching, that cult governing spirit? Why do you tolerate it? I said, I don't. I'm not tolerating it. I'm teaching against it to deliver it and not being moved by it, not being under it. So a Jezebel, these people, this thing taught me about all this wild stuff. I wouldn't want to know about it, but I do and I enjoy it. I like it now. It's sort of interesting, weird, interesting. So we're pro them. We're pro the body. We're pro ministry, but we're not for false religion in ministry. We're against mean spirits. We're against 2 Timothy 3:1-5 fruit. We're against controlling witchcraft, arrogance, domination, false witness, backbiting. We're against it. And this is why. This is why. So, Tevo, can't you just be only sweet baby Jesus all the time? I am, but not when I have to fight a Jezebel turf guarding enormous spirit. And I think, it says if two agree together and gather in God's name, or if they agree, they can do something really mighty. Positively, that's how it's intended, to be positive for bringing down of strongholds. But if they're in negative agreement against you or me or anybody in a worship type of group, these are worship groups, wow, that is big. So I had to get this strong. I had to human up to get this tough. I wouldn't like this, but that's okay. The joy of the Lord. I want to tell you more about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord has been my strength. God has been my friend. I've learned about the kingdom. I've learned to try not to be conceited. I really have. I never knew it was so big. All of us could. I live on, because I have to remind myself, all of us in this day, Psalm 123, verses 3 and 4, the Psalm of David, he said, my soul has been filled time and time again. My mind, will, and emotions has been filled with the contempt of the proud, those who know it all, those who have arrived. That's my translation. Our souls, all of us who have to deal with this, a lot of people have to deal with it just for showing up at the wrong place, the wrong church, with the respecter of persons, reading crowd, you know, that are false witness. It's really a big deal. It really is. So when I grew up respected, valued, everyone equal, black, white, and brown, males and females. There's chain of command, Ephesians 5:21 with 5:22, but it was chain of command. Everybody was respectful. So this is how I learned. I guess a lot of people were raised toxic and poor. I was not. So we're pro you. We value you as the human. But my thing to you, we know the turf today out in the rank and file at the seats where you go visit. And if you feel unsafe, and you know they're doing some of this false teaching, false doctrine, occult witchcraft, that is technically a polling command in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. It's a perilous time, last day, get out. And so you have our permission. You can train on that. Three commands of Paul. Three commands about groups, people, churches, teaching groups, if they're fruit. Three commands. One, Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake fellowshipping with the saints, as some have. Hey, it's not legalism, but it's like, hey, that's good for you. Try to find it somewhere. The other two are get out, scram, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, they're lovers of themselves, precious dear selves, all right? The last one would be their lovers of money, which is they read you about how much, if you got big bucks, if you're blessed, you got money. If not, you're not blessed. And that's a teaching of Paul. The two from such turn away fellowships are field of interest and expertise. But see, they can do that. All these people, they know more. They've heard it all. You know, they know more. They can know more. We're teaching somewhere else. We're not in these groups, but we can, and we can be friends with them. Listen, everybody's imperfect, you know. But I think we need to all be careful, because it's the invisible realm of the supernatural they're using in the demonic sense, psychic realm, that I had not ever dealt with as a Baptist pastor, as a person who was in like the easygoing spirit field. I never had been around the occult to the last 12 to 15 years, big time, in Dallas, just trying to go to a worshiping type of church. That same fruit is no fear of the Lord there, no love, you know. But that is their choice, and it seems like I had to learn this, big boss, the fruit to watch out for. So we're pro you, big boss or little boss or no boss, we're fine. Black, white, or brown, green or purple, doesn't matter to me, it's you. Paul said, I determined not to know anything about anybody, any person, except Christ and Him crucified. That means you got to be not moved by my outer earth suit or yours, or the size of your mansion, or the lack of your mansion, or the big shot that you think you are, the hairstyle. You got to not be moved by your race, your gender, your life. You got to be looking, do they know Jesus or not? And then what do I do about it after that? So the realm of calm that I live in is incredible. The realm of joy, the peace that passes all understanding. This has been a demonic persecution. I don't mean that personally. Just looking at the magnitude and the depth of it and the length of it for our nation, doing it for our nation so that the Lord would uncover a cult ministry that says it's Holy Spirit, that bears false witness against its neighbor, that accuses people with never speaking to them, just reading them. That is enough. It is Jezebel, an Ahab, and their false prophets network, the true mixed with false prophets network, true and false together, because they say they accept Jesus as Savior. But whose authority are they under? You know, really, the occult. But then you think Elijah was alone. He had the school of the prophets here and there, but it wasn't like a massive force like these people and their great turf-owning crowds. Zero tolerance for anybody except people that look like them and do like them. You live and learn here. Right. So I would teach people that these people cannot, who read me and never spoke, and who spoke against me or, called me out, jumped me in public, never spoke all these through the years. These people are the Isaiah 5:20. Whoa. Isaiah 1 through 10 is a huge word to the nation's Christian ministry today, right now. But in the middle of that, it's because the leaders, God's leaders, they were little g gods, false religion, and vanity in Isaiah 1 through 3, and it created a whole brood of vipers, a nest of it, dysfunction. Isaiah 5:20, woe, you cannot tell, you call good evil and evil good, and I am the representative litmus test for this crowd, the doctrine. Blind, you know. So when you look at the topic of income, and I never got to it because that's, I guess I don't want to, but you know, what we do is that we say, if just jump, throw it in. We believe in Matthew 6:4 for now, unless I get somebody sent along. We're supposed to, right now we're doing it as a business because you have to have food, you know what I mean, basically. Income, get things going. And I'm not the greatest person to run all these rules and stuff for the nonprofit. If somebody sends that person, let them be, and they can do that, you know, that part of the ministry. So we're living like they do with daily bread. We have a little income, but not a lot. All right. So the issue is that over in the nations, when I live low, when I live large, I always had compassion for the third world and people who barely made it. Always did. So when I had to live low and barely make it, I could think, well, I'm just, you know, living like people that live all the time around the world and in our nation. So I'm learning, you know, how to handle it, be happy and merry and anyway. But when I thought of, if the world, the economy, God forbid, goes way down, or you're part of it that goes down, there are going to be pockets of good, pockets of plenty, but there's going to be pockets of suffering, you know. The Lord allowed me the grace to stand it. But I realized that a lot of people have devalued the faith movement because somebody warped it into prosperity, and it's scary to talk about money. So I'm telling you, don't give unless the Lord tells you. Only give what He says, and over here, I'm really thinking like Kenneth Hagin started, only give for the grassroots to do this, only give up to $30 whenever he says, no more than $30 at a time. But it will not be a tax write-off. It will be by faith, Matthew 6:4. Give in secret, anonymously, whatever amount God says, give it, and then God will reward you openly, and He'll reward you in His way. His timing, and it doesn't have to be money. There will not be a formula, but you'll know a difference. You will know. So we are living, you know, we've been living by faith, and part of it, we had a rape attempt in Dallas. We had all sorts of big shot stuff. We had a lot of things, and that smashed my keyboard. I'm a musician, a CCLI songwriter. I have a website, celebrationofhiswordmusic.com, which are older because I just couldn't function with all that garbage going on. But we're ready to go back, and I can give workshops, and I can, I would love to do theory. I was a piano teacher's guild, and yeah, I used to do a lot of music. I would love to help people that are composers get going, stirring up your gift, and help you with theory. A lot of people don't know theory. I used to make lead, I've made lead sheets. You can see them with Finelli software, even though that has been stolen. We had the computer stolen lately. But life is good no matter. Despite dysfunction, despite some of the weird stuff, terrible stuff, you got God. You got God, the Holy Spirit. You got God as your friend. You got God, the three in one, the power of God, the might of God, the counsel of God, the wisdom of God. You got the Holy Spirit and people who pray and the Lord Himself and the Bible. My gosh, that's all you need. It really is. It really is. Now, we were at dysfunctional levels, you know, coming up here. And we got waylaid by the controlling cult spirit, really. And we are over that, but we still want to get, I need prayer power and persons, human persons, to get us back to the natural. We have the visible sign of basic living, you know, better than we're doing now, you know, better than we had. And so the idea is that a lot of people, I trigger, usually the controllers, I trigger the dysfunctional. I didn't realize it. I do. Poor them. So I trigger people who are insecure and they are scared of women, or they have a controlling spirit themselves. They have no mercy. They're all about Jezebels and themselves and their money. The Wiccan twisted witchcraft Christian. The word witchcraft is based on the following theology that is sound and not spooky, not afraid. It is 1 Samuel 15:13. All rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, trying to work your way. It's false authority. It's control. It's to get what you want. That's what it is. Spiritual, spookified, or not. Orchestrated. So I say false authority that's been used beside praying against, which is very occult and demonic, and God will judge this. The other kind is orchestrating people to target people in prayer that you don't like and never spoke to. And bear false witness, undermine Judas, is this group, the caliber of fruit. All right. So if you got that going and you're not like that and you don't know about it, or you just don't think like you've got so much other stuff, all you're doing is trying to hear God, and this stuff will come get, you know, attack. So false authority in that sense is Wiccan, witchcraft. All right, what is the word Wiccan? That's the usual term for witchcraft, you know. Pharmacia, drugs, all that. Well, we're not going to elevate that. We're going to say Wiccan is like wicker furniture. If you get furniture, wood that's twisted to bend into a shape that suits and accommodates your purposes itself, you know, wicker furniture is twisted wood to make it orchestrated into a design, a pattern that serves you. And that's what this is. The occult spirit really is. So, Christ, let's end on a positive, happy note. And I will say this, if you feel impressed of the Holy Spirit to give, to donate, to read the, just read the, and keep it on your list, your bookmark, read the give link at the top of any of my ministry websites. Gift cards, because I'm always on the front lines. You can email gift cards or just give cash or not. The issue is I am so filled with joy, I really am, and the power of God, and I just got so tired of false witness. That's why we don't go near this stuff. You know, I just didn't know all this. We don't false witness. But let's end on a positivity note. I want to remind you, please, to go back and see what's really important. What's really important is the Bible link about Jesus, knowing him as your Savior, and meeting him, hanging out with Jesus and his people, the right kind, all right? So the BibleIsEssential.com is big to know about, to read it through, make sure you're ready, you know, that you're prepared. Anybody else needs to know about it, network it around. Last, I'm going to end with the way I really picture Jesus, the apostle of the church, the first fruit of his Father, you know, the first organic prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, you know, of the Christian ministry of the world. He went about doing good. Acts 10:38. Jesus Christ went about doing good, the seer prophet who gave his life for the world and died for all of us. You know, he died young for us, took all the sin, gave up his life for you and me, to sacrifice, shed his blood for our healing, our restoration, our heartache, our time in eternity with him, and so much more. And he was Middle Eastern. But it says the Messiah, Christ, went about, and you can read it in the Bible yourself, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, and the Lord was with him. So he went about, he wasn't cloistered and holier than thou, super, you know, somebody's going to affect my anointing. I've been around this, you know, we've been around this. Somebody's going to taint my cassock and my anointing if I'm not careful. Those little children better not come to me. No. He was led by the Spirit. So Jesus, he went about relating, but he just didn't drum up business. He was led by the Spirit gently, and the Lord Father God would say, go here today, go there today, go to the market, don't go there today. And he was out with Africans, Asians, all kinds of people, Arabs and Jews and Gentiles and heathen and Romans, all this stuff, all right? So he went about and he did good. He wasn't poor me, he wasn't big boss, he wasn't slave owner, he wasn't slave, you know, user, abuser of people or accuser, not at all. He went about doing good. Hebrews 1:9 is one of my favorite pictures of Jesus out in public. It said Jesus had the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows because he hated iniquity, what sin did to people. And he loved what was righteous, but he wasn't super self-righteous or super saint, you know, religious. So Jesus went about doing good as the prophet, you know, the young man prophet. Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, and the Lord was with him. He said he went about doing good, healing, not crucifying, not hurting people, not gossiping about them, not reading them coldly and dismissing them because they weren't his style, not even women. All right. So then it said he went about healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Who oppresses, distresses, uses, abuses, accuses, word curses, and all sorts of evil stuff? The devil, not Jesus. He didn't oppress, withstand. He did not use his power and false authority. He didn't practice witchcraft, control, no. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. And the Lord was with him. The Lord shone upon him, anointed and equipped him with his favor, his gifting, his blessing, protection. He was saved, but he was also a model for us to model that salvation. So I said, read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he was alive on earth, and see how he acted and acted, and you're going to see that. He wasn't a sin-conscious finger-pointer. He didn't accuse people. I caught you. I caught you in sin. You're not going to church. You're a church hopper. You're not submitted. That is Phariseeism. Even the tone of voice of accusation is a sign. Levitical patriarchism at play in that ministry, or she, barking orders, same thing. You will not see that when you read for yourself Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So God is so good. Sometimes you just got to shake the dirt off your feet of some of this dysfunction. You really do. And forgive them all and move on. You really do. And if God wants to speak to people and they want to get right, I want to deal with them. I like these people. You know, people are gifted, but they're not perfect. And I would say I was sent to the bottom to be an embed. But they would recognize it because they must, because they always stare at me, the occult spirit. But we tried to be nice. We tried to be friends with them. But I learned from hard experience that they would do this not just to me. God had told me, so you don't think it's me. God said on the journey, which started in 1976, and 80s and 70s were fine. It was in the 90s, and I started being sent to study on my journey, the spirit of prophecy. This started. And the Lord said, Tebo, if I let you see something when you're traveling and going out, and I'm sending you, if you see something that hurts people or hurts my good safe name, when you visit or go to a meeting, you see it three times or more different places, then that is my sign. I see a lot of it, and that is a sign I want you to teach on. That's why I'm teaching on it. He also said, Tevo, if you get hurt, don't take it personally, take it prophetically, because I'm letting you know what people go through. And God took me there so I could understand, forgive them, but also say, be a wise person. Do not do it to people. I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know it was that bad. Now, because I've been around a long time and I've had a big journey, it's bigger than I can tell, but I'm letting you have some of the lowlights, even though I had a lot more highlights. I really did. Joyful times. So God is good, and the idea is that what I found in the last 20 years, the last showbiz years from 1996 on, really Dallas, with the big revelation as a prophet like Daniel looking at the overview, that there is no respect. That the body of Christ Christian ministry, where I was sent, this kind, the dysfunctional kind, do not respect anybody except them. And their turf, and their, when they follow, maybe they'll respect that person. That is the most pitiful, that's the pitiful discovery, that had lost their savior, they had lost the first love. It's now Demas and Eli, occult Eli and Demas, the materialistic person. There are a few remnant, Enoch, that walk and talk with God daily, Genesis 5, here and there, in the people. And they want to be right, but they've never been taught good doctrine. They have never been taught good doctrine. Because I see what goes on now, I know that nobody knew we'd have big ministries 40 years ago. Nobody knew we'd have big ministries and fame and celebrity and big bot. Nobody knew that, but now we got a culture of it, and now we got to watch it and bring it back down. In 1996, Progressive Magazine, Lord, it had me open one that was on a seat at a meeting one day, and it said a book by Bob Buis. It said a warning to the church in America, 1996, a mini book. It said that the devil was going to send, the enemy was going to send a spirit of entertainment and fantasy to affect the church in America, and it has. Along with that, showbiz, mesmerizing but dysfunction in the grassroots followers, or showbiz, make it big, I'm going to be the next one. The achievement, ambition has been a huge deal, but the respect, doctrinal humility and just reverential fear of the Lord, that's why I don't go. That's why I have to submit. See, I'm submitted. Those people are really into that. They're wrong. The errant submission, you got to be where we can manage you and keep an eye. Are you going to, are you under a person like us in our network? Let them do it. That's their job. But submission is a reverential fear of the Lord, respect for everybody, male and female, chain of command. That's us, and that's really more Christian. That's First Church. So with that being said, I'm going to go about and do whatever God tells me, trying to do good when He leads me. If not, I'll just relax. I am enjoying myself. I came here today. I got out of just being serious and hearing God and doing some things. But I thought, I feel relief. Someone asked me, how are you doing today, Miss T? And I said, relieved. I'm feeling relieved, and I am. So I'm sitting here doing good, just mellowing out, chilling out, being with the Father and trying to hear God like yourself. God bless you. This is a great day to be on guard, but it's a great day to hear God on. This is Tavo DRC, crossbuddyunity@gmail.com. If you need to contact, if you want to use PayPal that way, crossbuddyunity@gmail.com or whatever God says. But see the give link at the top. There is no tax write-off. We're going to do it like real people did in the old days far around the nation where they don't have all this Western European thing, tax write-off. For now, we're just going to say, all right, I'm going to see if it works. Now, you can give it to anybody, but I'm saying our rule for us is that you will hear God. It will not be more than $30. You'll do whatever God says as often, whenever He says it. Or you'll just pray. That's good, really needed. And then when He says it, you'll do whatever it says on the give link at theonlinefellowship.us, tavoleader.com, wherever these are. And whatever God says, do it, and we'll have our needs met. That's all we want. I would like personally to get out there counseling, giving advice, consulting ministries. I would like that. I'd love my music side back. Prayer, please, for that, because that is a tent maker. All this was tent maker was decimated before I came up here, and when I tried to get it up here, that's when all this, I had to get over the last, I had to get back to not being triggered by white Christians. And the ones up here, let me say, I want to honor them. They're so nice in ministry. They really are nicer. But I also had to say that when I've gotten going, when I was focusing, then I get whammed by this car stuff, falls, car stuff, cult spirit, and then the theft of the computer. But all that was big, because it was ramifications of all the stuff in the computer, and all the bank accounts had to be changed, and all the passcodes, and all these things. And that's okay. It was one more thing to level me down, to wear me out. But I know that, and I'm not moved by it. I have the joy. God is good. It's a dysfunctional devil. God is not dysfunction. He is high functioning. That's why I knew I've crossed over. And I am filled with joy, but I am relieved. Thank God for God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for good people. Thank God for Pauline teaching when to leave and when to stay. Get out if they're dysfunctional. God bless you. And also, it's time to work on our physical fitness. I love to do, I've really been a faithful person till lately to really try to, for preventive health reason all my life, 35 years or more, to do that. And it's been God's good. So we're going to try to focus on that, have some wellness talks, get other people for music and guests to have interviews. later. God bless you. Bye-bye.